When I looked through the window of the tiny shop, I saw a floor-to-ceiling jumble of antique hats, dresses, coats, capes, scarves, umbrellas, dolls, and bolts of cloth, bunched, piled, strewn, draped, and hanging, but no sign of anything resembling a publishing enterprise. I stepped inside and asked a woman with light brown, shoulder-length hair if she could lead me to Albert Gardin. At that moment, a short, bearded man rose into view from behind a bunker of hats. It was Albert Gardin. I introduced myself and said I was interested in learning more about Mario Stefani. Signor Gardin said he would be happy to tell me what he knew about his friend's poetry, which was plenty, and his death, which was not very much. He pointed to a stool and I sat down. "The police tell us nothing," he said. "We don't even know what Mario wrote in his suicide note. My best sources of information have been leaks. A friend in the fire department told me that Mario was found with a noose around his neck and his feet touching the floor, so he didn't die instantly from a snap of the neck, but by a long, slow strangulation. His face had turned black. He used mountain climbing rope made of some sort of plastic, and it stretches. I think it's possible, though, that he died some other way and that his body was strung up afterward to make it look like suicide." "You think it was murder?" "It's possible. Maybe the autopsy will tell us something." "But the police say there is no evidence of foul play," I said. "Of course," he said. "They say there isn't any sign of robbery either. Money, paintings, and objects of value were all in their places." "They may have found money, paintings, and objects of value, as they say, but how would they know nothing was missing?" "But weren't there plenty of signs that Mario Stefani was suicidal?" I asked. "I mean, this new book you just published, it's almost a roadmap to suicide." "Mario talked to me about death and suicide more than once," said Gardin. "But I didn't think he was suicidal, and there are things about his death that don't seem right to me."
"What sort?"
"The day before he died, he called to tell me to save the date of March 30th. He was planning an event on the Lido. I can't remember what, a reading involving children or old people. Whatever it was, he was enthusiastic about it. Why would he be making plans if he intended to kill himself?" "Maybe the final urge came over him suddenly, without warning," I said. "I understand that can happen, especially to someone struggling with a suicidal impulse." Gardin shook his head. "I knew Mario very well. Friendship meant a lot to him. I'm sure he would have come to see me at least one last time to say goodbye in person. That would have been more like him. Mario was..." Gardin caught himself. He closed his eyes. Then, after a moment, he blinked away tears. "I'm sorry, I'm just not used to saying Mario was. I was starting to say that Mario was a true friend. That's all." He'd been depressed, but he was not at the point of killing himself.
"Why was he depressed?"
Gardin paused and looked down at his hands before answering. "I think he was being blackmailed."
"Why?"
"Mario always prided himself on buying people drinks and dinner. He'd say, 'I want to humiliate you with my wealth.' Then, last summer, he stopped doing that. He would say that he was in financial trouble and could no longer pay, and if he did pay, it was only for his part of the bill. He'd see someone walking by a bar in a hurry and offer him a drink, knowing that the person would not have the time to accept. I knew there had to be a reason for his financial problems, and I became concerned. Finally, I just asked him if he was being blackmailed. He said, 'No, no, no.' But then he thanked me for asking the question and said, 'Maybe one day I'll explain everything.'"